Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Amen. I'm going to read this section again. We're going to travel through verses 3 through 9 this morning, but this first section, just allow the words of the Lord to wash over you. Consider a word or phrase that might stick out to you this morning, and I'll share some thoughts together, and I hope to hear from you as well in what Christ does with us in this time this morning. So again, taking a deep breath. Feel your body in the chair, wherever you are. Do you invite the Holy Spirit to illumine your heart and mind? Would you feel the life of Christ hold you together this morning? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. One of the themes that we'll see in this letter is there's a sense that there is a salvation that you are waiting for. There's a salvation that's waiting to be revealed, and there is a salvation that you have already received. We'll see both of these themes in these few verses. So what I wanted to do is just move even beyond this letter to how some of these words get used in the New Testament, because these are all synonyms. So new creation, that's a theme in the New Testament, and that's a synonym. Okay, that means salvation. Shalom with God, ourselves, others, and creation is the goal of new creation. It's what salvation is for. So these words are all interchangeable, these concepts. The age to come, that's the longing for new creation, or the age to come is the longing when all things are at peace with God, ourselves, others, and creation. On earth as it is in heaven is a prayer for new creation, or a prayer for salvation to come, or a prayer for God's all-encompassing four-dimensional shalom. A new creation means kingdom of God, or salvation means the kingdom of God is here. John uses the term eternal life, which is saying the same thing as salvation, or as the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is saying eternal life. And new creation began with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Our salvation began with the resurrection of Christ. Shalom with God, ourselves, others, and creation began with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The age to come was inaugurated, initiated, launched with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. On earth as it is in heaven is this ministry that really was birthed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God, eternal life. These realities were realized with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because you see the power of God is deeper and stronger than death. This event revealed something, that the power of God, or the kingdom of God, that new creation, that salvation, that eternal life, that the age to come is deeper and stronger than the power of death. God's hope for the world has been planted and is now alive and growing right in the middle of the dying, enslaved, unjust, corrupt, and perishing world. So God's salvation is already here. God's salvation is not yet fully established. So those are some of the big themes that come to light in this letter. So verse 5, who through faith are shielded by God's power. Remember that power that is deeper and stronger than death. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So here's the theme of kind of the coming salvation to be revealed in the last time. So here's some other words that you may have heard of before. Last days equals the last days of old creation. Last days is the same as end times. Sometimes these headers or phrases get used in a bunch of different ways, but in the New Testament, there was very specific meanings. The end times means that time is running out for injustice. So are we living in the end times? Yes, we have been since the resurrection of Jesus. Are we living in the last days? Yes, we have been since the resurrection of Jesus. So the resurrection of Christ marks the beginning of new creation and marks the ending of old creation. We are living in the last days of old creation and the first days of new creation. We live in between these two realities. So here's what this means, and I want to try to bring even these words of Peter into our context today. So the days where injustice reigns are numbered. The days where we abuse creation and each other are numbered. The days that we fail to experience peace with God, ourselves, others, and creation are the ones that are passing away. There's an experience, there's a reality of this world that is on the way out, the old way, where we're at war with one another, ourselves and God and creation. That's part of the old reality, old creation in New Testament terms. And that's the last days. That's the ending time for that, because new creation has begun and is going to be fully realized. The new is already here and there is so much more of that new to come. It is ready to be fully revealed. On that day, the old way will be no more. There will be a last time for the old way. So just look at that verse again. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. There will be a last time for that old way. the days where grand juries exonerate brutal policing, and the days where attorney generals call the killing of innocent black women justified, are numbered. There will be a last time. This is how Peter is setting the stage for this suffering little minority group under the thumb of Roman Empire. There will be a last time. You know, in light of new creation, these days are numbered. The days of injustice. The things that are wrong. That's what's passing away. And a better way is already here. A new way is ready to be revealed. So you think of this, there are plenty of better ways already in existence. It's not like, oh my word, this is a problem and we just don't know what to do. These systems are unjust and they need to be put to death so that the new ones can be initiated. See? There will be a last time that stuff like that gets justified. I'll use another example, and then I want to bring you into this conversation. Just in this last week, two different members of our congregation have stories of either chronic pain or issues that could be taken care of, but insurance and healthcare and those things are not working for them. And so it's inhibiting the ability to get what they need to be able to fully flourish, right? So this is within our own congregation. And what this letter in 1 Peter is saying in these contexts is the days where people are made to suffer because the system is fine denying health care to humans, but considers it a sin to deny companies from endlessly extracting obscene profits, those days are numbered. We're living in the last days of that kind of nonsense. So all of this letter is to gain like Christ's perspective on the injustices that are taking place so that we can rise up and live into and actually see the kingdom of God start to impact so that heaven really does get lived out on earth. So we live into the reality of the resurrection of Christ and bring that shalom into our present injustices. And that feels really powerful to me. The days where people are made to suffer because the system is fine denying healthcare to humans, but considers it a sin to deny companies from endlessly extracting obscene profits, those days are numbered. And there's a better way already to be revealed. You know, and that is, you know, there are lots of people in other places and nations that don't have this situation, that actually have systems that actually look more like shalom with one another and creation, and systems that prioritize people over profits. Those already exist. And it's waiting to be revealed here for us, but it's not like it doesn't exist. It's in existence. And it has not been fully implemented for everyone, right? So these are how the kingdom of God meets us in the very particulars of our time and place. So here's this question, and I want to pause and allow you to come in and respond here. What else would you like to name this morning? you know, name some of these injustices and name them in the way that their days are numbered. The days are numbered for what comes to mind for you. Or we are in the last days of, I think of, the days are numbered for homelessness. What does Christ bring to your mind today? You want to name an injustice that needs to pass away. You need to name something that's part of the old creation. Abuse. Yeah. The days are numbered for abuse. The days are numbered for racial inequity. We are living in the last days where Black lives matter less than damage to white property. Amen. Kevin, another racial inequity, patriarchy. The days are numbered. We are living in the last days of taking advantage of others. The days are numbered for cancer and hunger. The last days of children being separated from their parents. The days are numbered for normalizing bullying and inhumane brutality. The last days of male dominating. The days are numbered for systems based on exploitation and scarcity. We are living in the last days when trans lives are threatened and mistreated. Yeah, thank you. The last days of hatred. Amen. Amen. The days are numbered for physical pain. Yeah. And for all those of you who suffer with chronic pain, especially, I'm so sorry. We declare the last days for that. Rape, brutality, and torture, those days are numbered. In God's great mercy, God has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Yeah, thanks for these. Addiction, seeing anyone else as less than. Let's see, all of that. Disconnection from one another because of fear of rejection. See, all of these things are part of old creation. They're not part of new. They're not part of the new birth that we've been given. In God's great mercy, God has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, I want to let this verse sink in, so I'll just kind of repeat each part and see if there's a piece of this that really sinks in to you in a particular way. God has given us new birth. See, the us is a communal It's a community's new birth. A whole people. And it includes you. God has given you new birth. God has given me new birth. God has given us new birth. God has given us new birth in a living hope. God has given us new birth in a living hope. God has given us new birth in a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. God has given us new birth in a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Betty, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for these last days. Let your glory move upon us all. Have your way, Lord, have your way. Praise to your holy name. Amen. In God's great mercy, God has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, hope is not something we have to generate or concoct on our own. We don't have to muster up hope. Hope is a gift from God. So that was something that struck me in this reading, that hope is a gift. It's gifted. It's given. In God's great mercy, God has given new birth into a living hope, a hope that does not expire. It is not a gift card with a fixed limit. It is not a one-time event. You are gifted citizenship into a non-perishable, inexhaustible, indestructible hope. This bigger, longer, persevering hope, no matter what the conditions are on the ground. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. And I just want to call, I'd say, what does this mean? It looks like this, right, Betty? Like your ability to rejoice and put into words these prayers while you're trying to beat cancer. Why you've suffered injustice while your car was wrecked by vandals, right? It's like, thank you, Lord, for these last days. Let your glory move upon us all. Have your way, Lord, have your way. Praise to your holy name. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And for me, what I think this ancient text, you know, 2,000 years ago, is saying something fairly revolutionary. though we live with some of these texts for so long, they get distorted sometimes as saying, like, God is making you suffer to prove your faithfulness. I don't think that's what this is about. It continues to frame suffering in this bigger picture of new creation having been received into a living hope. And like any good story, right? In every good story, you see the protagonist face devastating obstacles. The challenges, the trials, the defeats, they are all crucial to the stories that resonate with us. We root for them to keep going, to press on, to persevere. We share in their longing for their hopes to be realized. That's, you know, what makes compelling story, compelling life, compelling movie. You know, last Friday, Sarah and I watched the movie on Ruth Bader Ginsburg's life called On the Basis of Sex. And I highly recommend it if you haven't seen it. But there's this one scene that she's trying to confront the persistent, perennial problem of discrimination based on being a woman. So, like, all of the calls for the end of patriarchy, the end of male domination, the end of inequity, right? Those kind of, she's given her life to fight to overturn these. So these realities won't persist forever. You know, there's going to be a last day that this continues to practice. And you see that the overwhelming mountain is in support of the status quo. And there's this scene where, you know, she wants to try this case. And, you know, she just feels absolutely defeated. Like, this is never going to happen in my time. And she had this wall with all the arguments she was going to be able to use. And she's just taking them down, and her daughter's witnessing, you know, kind of a defeated mom. And I'd say, like, here's one of the turning points, you know, in, like, good storytelling. It's like you get to the end of yourself. You feel like it's hopeless. But there's a resolve. It's like devastated but not destroyed. And you see this chipping away, and this beast of inequity starts to unravel. You know, and, you know, it's a beautiful case. You know, we finished that movie and I'm just in tears, because I'm always moved by a good story of someone facing insurmountable obstacles that perseveres, and we have a shared longing for this hope to be realized. You know, this is what I think Peter is doing. Even though for a little while you're suffering, know that, you know, you're demonstrating you've got the receipts for the genuine faith. You're suffering because you're persevering for a different way. And that is admirable. You know, every good story sees this. You know, I had, there was a pastor colleague of mine who's wanted to get together, and their congregation is just in turmoil. You know, I'm hearing familiar tales of, you know, the tale of two churches within one. And she finishes kind of what's going on, and I just say, I'm so sorry. And she's like, I knew you would understand. You know, at that point, there's like a shared communion of suffering and perseverance. you know, at that point, you don't go to the, like, you know, I had a dream of starting a congregation, and we just showed up, and there was this mass of people, and then it just, like, kept getting bigger, and we never had budget problems, and, like, everything that we set out to do, it just, you know, it just happened. You know, it's amazing, you know? And then, so then we started conferences to share our story of, like, how everyone else can have a non-suffering existence. You know, that's, that story's bad. Like, who can relate to that? And so often we see suffering and challenge and defeat as somehow a sign that you're doing something wrong. But in this frame, the suffering's always in Christ's perspective. The suffering is placed in the context of Christ. The suffering is not eternal. It's a little while. The suffering will not have the last word. The suffering is not forever. The suffering is part of what is passing away. It doesn't define your existence. The suffering of Christ did not mark the end of things. It was what was passing away. The suffering gave way to resurrection and new creation. I didn't finish this thought. The suffering was not a sign that something was wrong, but actually that you were on the right path, right? It wasn't a sign that something was wrong. It was a sign that you were on the right path. So continue the last section here, verses 8 and 9. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So at the beginning, you have, like, you're waiting for the salvation that is to come, you know, the not yet. But here you're already receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And again, just a reminder, what's the end result of your faith is the whole thing at peace with God, ourselves, others, and creation. That's what salvation, they're liberated. Not just you, but everyone liberated from all the barriers and the death and the illness and the injustice and the addictions and the enslavements that keep us persisting in bad patterns, right? You're receiving that restoration right now. Even if it's not fully realized everywhere for everyone at all times, you've experienced an inexpressible and glorious joy. And, you know, this written in this perspective of Peter, right, who got to walk and hang out with Jesus, is blessing them for their belief and faith that they've experienced with not having that first eyewitness account. And Jesus gives this, you know, this blessing as well. He says to Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen me? You know, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." So even Jesus is, like, foretelling the experience of these first Christians in Asia Minor. You know, blessed, you're blessed. You didn't walk with me, but you're experiencing the salvation of bringing. You're experiencing the living hope. You're recognizing that I am the living resurrected one, even as you haven't walked with me in flesh and bones on this planet. You believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You are already receiving now the fullness of your future hope. You have tasted it, experienced its joy, and have been renewed by its gift. It gives you new life today, even as you endure the hardship of current realities. I'm going to close just by reading this whole section. And again, if you have any, this brings any stirrings to you, thoughts and prayers you want to share with the community, there's space to do that. I want you to take in a deep breath. Let it out slowly. Just want this morning to settle in you. What is the Spirit of God doing in you now? What might be a current challenge that you're facing, of which the living hope brings some perspective to? Hear these words. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen. Amen. Share a couple of your thoughts here. Bruised reed, but not broken. More joy, Jesus. We ask for more joy. Yeah, amen. Jesus suffered. We will not suffer any longer than he will allow. No, he has a plan for what we go through and overcome because he has already paid it all. Thank you, Betty. Amen. Well, in this time, I want us to transition to the meal that Jesus set for us. a new table of wholeness, of joy, of hope, of peace, of new creation already coming. So we celebrate this together. Again, share your prayers. What would you like us to hold this morning? If there's another stirring that you have that you want to name, you want to name something that's days or numbered, do that in this space. Amen. I invite you to gather elements for communion.